Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Row, to the program where we gather every day at this time and we kick off every week with the same character, Hank Vogler. We will figure out. I got all confused when I went off a script. There is no script. It's just come to me for 23 years. We'll discuss the issues between food production and food consumption. And, the rest will be up to you. Hank Vogler, White Pine County, Nevada. How are you?
Nevada, how's Hank?
Wonderful, wonderful. We had a beautiful, even though it was snow, probably didn't help the lambing, but we're about better than halfway through it. But it was a beautiful all day long snow, wet snow. But it's so dry here, I ran into two lizards fighting over a snowflake. I'm not kidding you.
Isn't that how the last drought started?
Yes, it was. By golly.
Well,
never forget Earl. That's how the last drought started.
We got a nice rain over the weekend as well. It came with some severe weather. We had a graduation thing that we went to last night, and we're coming home, and it was a great feeling. You wouldn't know this, Hank, but you know, in our country in May and June, these storm chasers are everywhere. And I met a storm chaser last night, and when I say I met them, they were going east, I was going west. That is a great sign, because these people know where to be when. If a storm chaser passes you, you might as well turn around and go the other way. And how do I know it was a storm chaser? This was like not a little bitty car, but a mid-size Range Rover, probably a Range Rover, something on that order. And it was completely covered. And you know how you have a cattle guard in front of your pickup? We got a cattle guard in front of the pickup. This was like a cattle guard unboxing the whole thing. The whole thing had a frame and braces. And so I don't know what storms they drive into. It was clearly a storm chaser.
It had a rollover bar all
it
over
it. Roll over the whole thing. I mean, it covered the back, the front, the down to the hood. I don't know how they get in there to change oil, but anyway. Yeah, there were homes lost last night, particularly St. Paul, St. Labore, and pictures of tennis ball. I'm not kidding you. Tennis ball size hail. There was somebody put a skull can down next to this one chunk of hail, and this hail and a skull can were the same circumference.
Wow. We had a hailstorm come through here one time, and I'm not having a bigger dog by any means. It stripped the leaves and the branches off the sagebrush for about 400 yards, just went through in one spot. And that's as close as we've come. Those stones were maybe, some of them were the size of a quarter.
Yeah.
But for about 2 years, you could see the path of where that went through there. It just stripped everything to the ground. I mean, it was severe. But that's not no golf ball or size hail or anything like that.
Golf ball size or tennis ball size will knock out a cow. But we have had where pastures have been completely eliminated with hail.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It's a corn crop issue every year.
Wow. Boy, and if it's your turn in the barrel, it's your turn.
Oh, don't you worry. If you lose your corn crop, Uncle Sam's going to take care of you. And by the way, you pay for that highly subsidized crop insurance.
Well, they throw a little to us on the wool. They used to have a heck of a wool program, but the two senators from Nevada took it out, showing how fiscally responsible they were, Harry Reid and Richard Bryan. And, of course, I had to go to the meeting and be stupid. And I asked Mr. Bryan if he traded the Nevada wool industry for a couple of Super Bowl tickets. And probably didn't make any friends, but he knows me every time I've ever seen him. He always calls me by my name. So, anyhow, it took out 20% of the wool growers. So, their people become dependent on those payments. And win, lose, or draw, like them or not. it does affect people directly. And whether they should be taken out, that would be the debate, is if we stop all subsidies, we stop subsidies on airlines, stop subsidies on everything. It could be a very different world. I have no idea.
But I want to find out.
Okay. You're probably going to get a real good chance one of these days. You know, I mean, Newton's law of gravity always takes over.
Yeah, it's a matter of whether you live long enough or not. It will take over.
Yeah.
But this subsidy thing is just the government. I mean, you county commissioners who continue to provide these economic development grants, you're the problem.
No, I'm the problem. I asked too many questions, and they got a full frontal attack on me, I guarantee you. Yes, sirree, Bob. Got four people running against me for re-election. Let me see. What else? Just, well, the indictment came out 2 days after I signed up for re-election. You name it. The BLM is dragging their feet on letting me go out. They've taken five permits away from me. They're trying to put me out of business. If they're not, they sure could fool me. Just everything in the world, just because, you know, I ask questions and about the money we are spending. And they go, well, it's SNPLA money, Southern Nevada Land Policy Act money. It's free money. Well, no, it's not. You know, rats don't know why the cheese is free until it's too late. You pay all of those things, and if you use them irresponsibly, they can come back on you. Maybe they won't. Maybe it would be too politically incorrect. But you just can't keep doing that. Like, we already got 17 different responsibilities for 100 years as a responsibility on these different projects we already got. But let's ask for some more. And 37 different solar projects, different green energy projects, and that does not include putting in 2,250 satellite dishes to see if ET made it home.
Last week, and you parallel this to Southern Nevada Water Authority perfectly, but last week I was telling you that it makes no sense why you are kicked off when APR in Montana is staying on there grazing the BLM land until the ruling comes down in their appeal. Well, about the time you and I were talking about that last week, the BLM issued a final rule, and they have told APR they need to be off that land by September. I'm just intrigued how this is going to all play out, because I think that they are trying to set it up to make it look like they're doing something when in fact they've created a path that the BLM can't win. Well, they used the wrong provision from the Taylor Grazing Act.
We all know about the checkerboard that goes through Elko County, Eureka County, Lander County, Humboldt County, Pershing County, on into Reno. They had to have more land to trade out because the chances of getting your money back for building the railroad was slim and none. Mm-hmm. At 3 miles either side of the track or whatever it was through Nebraska and other country. So they have a kind of a standoff or an equal standing in those counties. But when you get into Nye and Lincoln County and White Pine County, some of the amount of private land, we're 97% federally controlled. So they have a different attitude. And there's a lot of people that'll tell you that when somebody in the BLM gets sent to Ely, it's basically they're being sent to the devil's island of the BLM. And I think the experiment is leave those guys alone with the checkerboard, because they got a lot of private land and they contribute a lot to their counties. Let's see what happens if we take everybody out, because now it's not just me. It's practically everybody on the N4 grazing board has a solar project on their winter range, which if I went out and damaged those winter ranges, they would put me out of business, and they would use the fact that sage grouse habitat, winter range for wildlife, yada, yada, yada. And that's where they want to put, oh, well, there would be no problem. Well, yeah, there will be. unless you can figure out how to keep the halogen from coming in, because you and I can get in a side-by-side, mark the GPS of where we're going, drive out across the White Sage Flat, come back a year later, and our tracks will be white, will be halogen. That's how invasive it is. And it's poisonous to cattle and sheep. So if they take those winter ranges away from them, they say, oh, no, they can graze under these things. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I got a little observation about that in the past week as well. I'll start with that. And then we're going to talk about lamb imports from New Zealand. Roll Route, Hank Moger, Trent Luce, more after this.
Tracer Minerals hold the key to immune health and dealing with weather and maintaining reproductive efficiency, particularly in your cows. More details about the Tracer Mineral Advantage, the chelated advantage, on the web, tracerminerals.com.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce. Hank Vogler checking in, White Pine County, Nevada. Something I was going to hit before we go to lamb imports. What was that?
About the White Sage deserts and the halogen and all the invasive species that come in.
I thought we got that covered.
Well, yeah, I thought we did too, but you said you had your own experience with it. So I just was wondering.
It'll come to me.
But it's just like,
I don't have experience with halogen. Oh, I know what. I don't have experience. I'm pretty sure that the sheep and goats under the solar panels, because they promote this agrivoltaics, they got a nice catchy term for it, is not working, because the latest move I saw was that they're promoting that hogs are wonderful under this under these solars. Because for anybody that's ever had hogs, I'll restate that, for anybody that's never had hogs outside in just, you know, open range, they are better than a moldboard plow at turning over your field. I mean, that's what they do. And so now they're promoting that hogs under these solar systems are fantastic investments because they keep the weeds at a minimum.
Well, but wouldn't they dig up the lines, the wiring of all those things?
Oh, I would think they would wreak havoc on the whole thing, but I
okay.
Don't
know. Well, I
probably
I
put it in a pipe.
I got a better idea. I was on a hunt in British Columbia for stone sheep, and we were looking across the canyon through a spotting scope, and there was a grizzly bear digging for roots or something, and you want to look at a plowed field now. So I think that especially close to the urban areas where they have solar panels, they should reintroduce grizzly bears under those solar panels. Because, I mean, he plowed and plowed. I mean, you could see the dust coming and just crap flying in the air, and he's just munching away. We went over to that area the next day, and you couldn't hardly ride a horse across it. So grizzly
I don't
bears
think you want to promote areas. This because they're going to say, oh, we can't have it near these urban areas. But you know where those guys are grazing sheep? We could feed the bear and them control the weeds all at the same time.
I know. Yeah, they'd think of something that would destroy agriculture and especially protein meat. Yep, guarantee it. But anyhow, it's always something. But I will tell you this, they hate cheatgrass too, but cheatgrass under normal circumstances will crowd out halogen. So maybe there is a chance. And that was my question all along. It wasn't, okay, you're going to have an effect on this white sage. White sage is a state plant. The silver sage is a state plant, and it is critical for winter habitat for a lot of things. And if it goes away, how are you going to mitigate that? Are you going to pay those ranchers for the loss for over all the millennia to come? Or are you going to be able to put something underneath that? So they're wafting philosophically with the university, and maybe the university will come up with something. But in the meantime, it's going to dramatically affect a bunch of people. And it so far, they've destroyed my operation with 6,000 head of wild horses. So they're not even bothering me yet. other than that they're trying to take all my permits away from me. My neighbors that I've known since I've been here, probably the first people I met when I came to White Pine County, Spring Valley. It's their winter range, hasta la vista. And I don't blame them if they line up with them and get paid and read the handwriting and get to blaze us out of there. But it's going to have a dramatic effect. And, you know, coming to the county commission and looking us right in the eye and saying, it'll be all right. Just be careful. Don't say anything. We're going to bring a lot of money into the town. Every bed in town will be warm. Every restaurant seat will be full. The police department will be quite busy. The hospital will. The schools will. And then we'll all leave town. And the only people that will be paying anything will be some guy that's working there, you know, out there checking on if ET's hanging around or whatever they do. Yeah, there'll be a boom and then a crash.
So,
and when you ask about that, you're an evil, no good SOB. You got to destroy your life. Not just say, hey, why don't we sit down and talk about these things? We're rich, we're famous, we're powerful, we're going to destroy you because we don't like you asking questions.
I want your assessment of this, not only as a county commissioner, but as a lifelong taxpayer and now a county commissioner. It appears to me that we've moved into this new phase where public officials at every level, whether it be federal, state, county, township, at some level, townships are better, school board, we don't focus on how to improve the quality of life for the residents as much as we spend so much of the time trying to find another dollar in revenue to the bottom line. And when somebody comes along, what you just said, somebody comes along and says, we're going to put in all this money into the property tax coffers. Everybody just gets all excited about that and try to figure out how to line up and get a portion of it instead of saying, you know, we need to stay within our means and we need to be more frugal with the taxpayers' dollars. We have a drive to seek additional money and revenue like I've never seen before. Almost like we're addicted to spending.
Yeah. And if you say anything about it, it's obviously heresy, you know, but then you read on the news, you see on the television about all these phony deals set up for childcare, for hospice, and dead people getting paid for Social Security and all of these things, you know, I've almost thought about sneaking up and looking in a couple of freezers in some of my people in my family. They might have Uncle Leroy in the freezer still getting his Social Security check. It's just gimme.
Do you have to be on ice to get your Social Security check, or do you just have to have a number?
Well, maybe he tipped over 10 years ago, but they're still getting his check. I don't know. I mean, it's just gimme. Want instant gratification, instant. The heck with what's going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now. 10 years from now, I have probably slim and no chance to be here 10 years from now. But I worry about my children and their children. What sort of a world are we going to have? And it doesn't, and especially with giving up the Department of Education to socialism. And we did that in 1978 or 79 with James Earl Carter Jr. And it's been downhill ever since. And it's not getting better. So, yeah, there. I guess I have a friend that is so negative. That's all he wants to talk about. You know, this is how the last drought started everything. And I always shut him off because you get so depressed, you want to go out and kick your dog and jump off the barn. I always tell him, well, you know what, Dave? I'm pretty sure I've read that the sun's going to burn out in 1,400,000,000 years. So kind of add that to your list, but I got to go.
So do you think sheep can graze under these solar systems?
I think they probably do well, probably in places where there's a high amount of rainfall and the grass is there anyhow, and they're high enough off the ground. I don't think they'll eat the wires. Maybe they would on a few. I have no idea. I'm just saying out here on these deserts, that disturbance is going to be a permanent disturbance. You know, unless you can put them under a circle, maybe an irrigate.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I've been hearing this for a lot of years. I know zero people who make it work. I'm not saying you can't graze around it, but the mere fact that you create shade for the majority of the field and then expect something to grow under there that sheep are going to eat, you're going to have, what, maybe a 20%? Not to mention whatever's happening with the frequencies, because everything's about frequency now.
I just worry that it's not going to be as charming and they lived happily ever after. Yeah. I'm not ready to take that. Let's have some demonstrations. Show me.
Why should we is the question. We got to take a break. We'll be back with the second half of Roll Route right after this.
Time to talk about beef. I'm talking about tender beef. You have two options. The Good Life, NE, that's for Nebraska. Good Life, no, the goodlifene.com. That's a certified Piedmontese website along with cpbeef.com. Different steaks, different cuts, same place, same origin. 100% tender, 100% from the Great Plains of America. That's what matters most. Who is producing and where is it produced? This whole beef complex is going to get quite interesting, folks. I suggest you know your supplier, you know where it comes from. And for your benefit, the more local it is, the better. That's not a climate change statement. That's simply a statement on knowing where your food's at and being able to access it. CPBeef.com.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, Hank Vogler. So let's get to this. Damian Buckley from New Zealand brought it to my attention earlier today on Across the Pond that the Ministry of Agriculture in New Zealand is talking about the Trump administration is launching an investigation into the amount of lamb coming from New Zealand to the United States and the threat of new cost-bearing tariffs might be put into place. What do you think about this as a U.S. lamb producer?
Well, it has happened before. When I came here 40 some years ago, that upended my original reason for coming to White Pine County was to buy 6,000 head of sheep from a fellow. We had the contract written at $65 a head, and they put some sort of a tariff or some sort of a quota or something on New Zealand and Australian lamb, and the price of ewes went up by about $20. And he refused to turn the sheep over to me, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise. But at the time, it was every dime I had was tied up. So it's not new. I have several friends that are from New Zealand and Australia. And the boys from New Zealand, most of them sheep shearers, or all of them really, they said that the dairy deal's not working as well as it was in New Zealand. And a bunch of the people that went to the dairy business have gone back to the sheep. So they're holding back a lot of ewe lambs. So the amount of lamb that's coming to the market is more castrated males, wethers. The unfortunate thing with so few breeding ewes in the United States, when we have different holidays that want it, we have a huge Muslim trade that's showing up in Las Vegas. It's showing up in lots of metropolitan areas. And the prices have gone up. And the people that were complaining 2 years ago, not being able to pay their bills because the prices were down so dramatically, they've all kind of gone silent. But they did talked to several Western governors and politicians that are looking into it. And I still say with so few sheep, I love the prices now compared to what they were a few years ago. But a few years ago, I was tickled to death that there was kind of a steady upbeat. But now there's been a huge jump. How long that will last? It's always greed. It's always greed. It's never to do. Boy, I fed 5,000 lambs last year. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to feed 10,000 this year. Well, so does every other feeder do the same thing. And so the price skyrockets, but then they can't move the end product or whatever. But right now we're moving the product. But without these imports, you go to Costco, some of the big retailers, and it's all product of New Zealand. It's all product of Australia. We cannot, because we've been beat down from 60 million head of sheep to 3 million head, we're going to be selling our lambs out the back of a pickup truck on a street corner during Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah, and Ramadan, or whatever other holidays that people consume more lamb. Even the Somalians, there's a group of Somalians in Las Vegas that buy anything. If it's a sheep product or a goat product, it's gone. How long that will last, how high it can go, I have no idea. But we cannot supply the amount of coming in. I think there should be some balance. I think there should be, you know, some sort of compromises. But I think you got to be careful about strangers bearing gifts, I guess. It's not an easy solution, I guarantee you. And it's not the first time it's come around and gone around.
The same complexity exists in the rhetoric about the packer monopolies. The meat packers have a monopoly. We got to break up that monopoly. If you break up the infrastructure, I'm not talking about the monopoly. I'm talking about the infrastructure. And we don't have an infrastructure to increase lamb production at the ranch level. At the packing level, distribution level, we have got this infrastructure in place. You got to do it gradually. If you have to do it overnight, it'd be gone. It eliminated.
Well, yeah, because the price of there would be no ewe lambs, even smut faces on the market. They would all be being bred, you know.
Are you paying attention to what's happening in the cattle business? What you just described is exactly what's happening.
Absolutely. And it takes, when you pull a heifer calf born today, you keep it for a replacement. It's 5 years before her first calf gets to slaughter practically. If you do that and you pull enough off the market is going to go higher, or it's going to hit a plateau. And it always happens the same. Boy, I paid off the pickup. The banker's smiling at me. I'm going to get a new tractor. I'm going to do this or that. Same stuff, just about like giving money to the county managers. You want to clean stuff up. And then you go, you know what? If I keep 200 head of heifers instead of 100, boy, look at the money I'm going to make. Well, then when everybody does that, you know, I remember two gentlemen back in the late 70s that went out, contracted a slug of cattle. I mean, steer calves, heifer calves, for like 20,000 of them. They had the checkbook to put the down money, and the people honored them. And the calves were bought in the spring for 40 cents, which at the time was a fairly reasonable price because everything was on its back anyhow. And by that fall, they were worth a dollar. And those guys, what did they do? They started buying hotels, ranches, properties, buying twice as many calves, everything. And they're both gone. It went south on them. And it was greed. It wasn't consistency or anything else. But if the New Zealanders are going to hold back more sheep because of all the price of wool, all these things have gone up. My wool has almost tripled in price.
Really?
Yes, unbelievable. And, of course, I haven't got it sold yet, so stay tuned. It'll probably crash but the day I send it to the market. So, it's amazing.
This is also a factor of the current economy, and there's a big negative side to this. I personally talked to Marshall Ringling last Thursday. He is part owner of Platt Livestock Market, Platt, South Dakota. And I had a friend of mine from Minnesota call me about 3 weeks ago and said, what's going on at Platt? They're getting a really high number of day-old calves. Day-old calves meaning calves that are typically bottle calves. Well, I talked to Marshall on Thursday. Last Wednesday was the fifth consecutive week that they've been at 1,000 calves sold as week-old calves. And I'm like, Marshall, where are these calves coming from? Well, in the Platte area, and Platte is East River, but it's about halfway between the Missouri River and Sioux Falls, if you don't know South Dakota. He said, we live in an area where guys typically buy some broken mouth cows, some cows that maybe are on their last calf. They feed them well during the winter, then they split them and sell them. But 1,000, they're just coming from everywhere. There was a set of these calves, Hank, that brought $1,775. They weighed 82 pounds.
Well, and not too long ago, I went to an auction. They were having a bull sale after the regular auction, and it was in an area in California where there were lots of dairies, and they were putting so many day-old calves, dairy calves on that scales, that there wasn't a room for one more of them, and there had to be, I don't know, 200 or 300 of them. A guy I knew brought some dairy calves into that market to sell them, and when he got his check for $1 a piece, he went out to his trailer, and his trailer had more. Somebody had just filled it up with day-old calves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
To be clear, these are beef calves, but the dairy on beef thing has certainly made an impact into that world.
Well, that pendulum can swing the other way. I hope it doesn't. I hope everybody makes money. You know, if you want to cry about the feeders making money, well, what happens to the psychological when they get overextended? They go, you know, I bought those loose calves. I'm pretty sure that's why this deal tipped over. Yeah, those calves. Well, so maybe you get blacklisted. I want those feeder guys to make money. And guess what? I want the Packers to make money too. If everybody makes money, but every single time in my short life, the greed factor checks in. And it's no different than playing blackjack. You hit a couple of blackjacks and you kind of make a little money, and pretty quick, I mean, you're fast Eddie. You're gonna stick right there until you lose it all. And that's what those casinos rely on. People walking out of there with money is not their forte. They didn't build those buildings with people winning money. They get it the other way.
What is happening with these pairs is that guys are short on grass before the rain. Everybody thought there were going to be no rain. No, it's drought's going to live forever. We have a fire region of Nebraska. The pair would come to the sale barn. And there was a big sale at Crawford, Nebraska on Friday. I haven't heard how that went yet. But the pairs come into the barn, and they bring them in. And if the pair doesn't bring 4,000 plus, they automatically just sort them up, because the calf will bring 1,500 plus, and the cow way up could bring up to 3,000. But 2,500 is pretty typical. And there's just an abnormal number of those that are getting sorted up. And those cows are going to town, because way up, and everybody knows we're short of ground beef. Obviously, we're importing it like never before. And that, if you continue to sell the factory, i.e. the cow being the factory, you're not going to have offspring. That's just basic male-female anatomy math. I got to let you know. Cycle of life stuff. But we also have a cycle called a clock. We'll take that and be back with the last segment. Roll route after this.
You're clear.
Now let's talk about nitric oxide. I've been taking nitric oxide for 19 years this month. I haven't been promoting it that long. I wanted to make sure it works. I'm going to say now the cardiovascular system needs nitric oxide. It's not a good idea. It's essential. Get more information about the expert presenting all of this to you, and that expert is Dr. Nathan Bryan, who was the first person I saw talking about this at that meat conference in Chicago 19 years ago. He's still plugging away, and he's now the global expert on the topic. Nitric oxide, N101.com. That's N101.com. TL10 is the coupon code that gets you a 10% discount. Once again, N101.com. TL10 is the coupon code. Nitric oxide is essential to healthy living.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Hank Vogler. I got to tell you that the first broadcast I did this morning, Trent on the Loose, I had Tony Hassenbeck, who's been 8 years in the State House of Oklahoma as a representative since 2018. And I said, you know, what are you okay with me calling a politician? And she went on why politicians was the right term. I said, you know, my friend Hank Vogler says that if you look at the Latin politics, you got many blood-sucking insects. Ironically, she has spent a great deal of time studying blood-sucking insects. So
is
my name on that list? We had a great discussion about Alpha Gal, which has been dominated my week's conversations. Anyway, I was just going to let you know that. Speaking of human health, in the Across the Pond version, I shared with Damien the shortage of penicillin. Thanks to production partner Luke, he's generated some data. You have some experiences. I'm not sure we have a full grasp of how the lack of proper biosecurity at our border has created, and I'm not saying that's the only cause, but has created a human health hazard that we're not getting a full measure of information about.
Well, as I told you in the break, that my friend, he worked for me for years and wanted a green card, and brought his family up and everything after he got it, but he had to go take a test, and he tested positive for exposure to tuberculosis. So he had to take a regimen of some very strong medicine. I got to talk to the doctor two or three times, and I said, well, boy, this is going to clean this up. And this was before the invasion at the border. This is, hell, this was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, probably everybody in Southern California, Southern in Texas, all the Southern states, the entire population has been exposed to tuberculosis 15 years ago. And all the people from Mexico all the way to Tierra del Fuego in Chile, Argentina, have been exposed. It's just a real common thing among the poor, being exposed to tuberculosis. They may not have an active case going, but they've been exposed. So we opened the borders under Uncle Joe and let them in by the thousands. Well, you know, stay tuned. That may affect measles, mumps, all sorts of diseases that other people in other countries, no biosecurity whatsoever, just here's a pair of pliers, there's the fence. That's not very intelligent. Now,
they needed pliers. They said, here's the gate, walk through.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah. Here, let me show you where the gate is.
And then also, production partner Luke dug up that syphilis is on the rise, and there is some components of holding back penicillin because it's the effective against syphilis. If we have all of these old school, and maybe they're not old school diseases, maybe I've been isolated. We've all been isolated from what's really going on with human health.
Well, and then when you know, somebody will probably come up with something positive. Mr. Kennedy is promoting the protein meat diet. And maybe that's why nobody seems to be blinking about the price of a hamburger. Luis and I went to Idaho Saturday to pick up some bulls, and it was $19 for three pieces of chicken. Gratian's calling.
I thought we were going to get him on with us one of these days.
Well, no, this is Arnold Trofe, a guy I went to grade school with all the way through high school. He's worried. He's another worrywart. He'll call me and tell me how the world's not turning the right direction or something. So,
yeah. Well, we do need to put the earth on a better axis.
Something. But again, all of these things, there's a pro and con to everything. The people in New Zealand are holding back more ewe lambs. The people in America, I promise you, they're going to try and squeeze another lamb, just like the guys with the calves, guys with the old cows. Everybody's going to try and get that new pickup truck, pay that. But it's like gambling in a casino. Boys and girls, you want a thought for the day? Never gamble with more money than you can afford to lose. Clean up your debt. Clean up things, because at some point in time, things will change. And if you're betting on $5 calves to float your boat, you may get disappointed in a year or so. I think you got a little time, because the heifers are going to come off of the market. The old cows are going to come off of the market, and maybe the people quit eating meat. But we're not promoting a vegetarian diet all of a sudden. We're promoting a protein central meat eaters. And I hope when we have the meeting on the 27th in Winnemucca with the BLM, that somebody's going to say the number of livestock running in the state of Nevada is down 70%. You want more beef and bring it in from Brazil? I can bring you in some real fresh meat from right across the street. Let me do it. But the Nevada Department of Wildlife, one of the head stud muffins came up to me after a county commission meeting and said, and he was pleading poverty at the meeting. He come out and said, we'll buy your ranch. Just put a price on it. The Nevada sheep industry's done. They want to put wild sheep on every mountain. But every country I've been to hunt wild sheep, they're no problem. They have the pneumonia too, but they don't ignore it. They ignore it. We saw 1,000 head of Marco Polos every day. 1,000 head of Atali Argyles. Saw them every day. And sheep and goats everywhere. It's all politics. Number one, many ticks.
You remember 20 years ago when we would walk through the history of the sheep industry since 1934, and we both said, pay attention, cattlemen, because the path is the same exact thing. We're not building back heifers. More importantly, what you just said is what is happening. The area of land that's available for ruminants to graze is diminishing greatly. Just look at your USDA. They want to take the CRP acres in this new farm bill from 23 million acres to 40 million acres. And some people say, yeah, but Trent, there's some grazing CRP acres. Have you talked to people who have grazing CRP acres? I know people who lost their land because of grazing CRP, because we're getting enough paid from the government. We don't want the cows out there. And it's still the stocking rates at 50%. And that's not including the urbanization and all of these solar and wind and AI data centers and everything else that is removing land from 27% since 2018, 27% of the grazing land has gone and accelerating.
Yeah. And you tell people that and they just blink and go, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Or whatever they do. It just blows by them. It don't mean nothing to them. And they say they're not going to put any more solar panels on these private land, on these farms. They got her locked in right now, just waiting for the fast drive-up window for their NEPA process. They're going to put one right in, practically in Ely. Nevada Energy wants a 3,500-foot corridor all the way across the state. Well, what do you think they're going to put under that corridor? There is no private land in White Pine County, and it's going out the window. And even the productive areas are going out the window for a quick buck. Come on, snake eyes.
Yeah, I actually think it's a longer-term plan than a quick buck. I think there is a plan for humanity, and that is to be replaced with digital people.
Well, now that's a kind of a little bit of a depressor there for me, lad. I kind of think that maybe there will still be a little reproduction out there.
We have to make that happen, though, because they're planning to eliminate it.
Well, but they're doing the same thing in China, in Japan, all the countries. You know, if you want to control the world's population, the best way to do it is with capitalism. People have fewer kids. It's a known fact. They live better. Everything. They take better care of themselves. They may live a little longer, but they don't reproduce in large numbers. I mean, do you want to stop overpopulation on the earth, which they've been talking about since I was born? You got to buy everybody a television. The old man will go and sleep in front of the TV. That's That's a guarantee. You don't need birth control. Just that everybody needs a television.
George Orwell, the author of 1984, said there will not be a revolt because people won't take time away from looking at their screens to engage. He wrote that in the 50s.
Bingo. Old George had her down, didn't he?
And even your buddy Bobby Kennedy is now talking about the lack of fertility in males. What's causing the males to have such a fertility problem?
Probably because they're eating tofu. I don't know. I mean, there's a cycle of life. Maybe they're wearing their underwear too tight. I have no idea.
I think that's closer than the tofu statement.
But it's the evolution. There's always, you got to have a boogeyman. Do you realize how many people would be put out of business if there was only one line of nutrition? If there was only one line of medicine, one line of education, one line of pickups, one line, there would be thousands of people put out. Now they're going to have communist grocery stores in New York. All the bodega people that sell cigarettes and beer, they're going to go out of business. I mean, yeah, from day one, when they invented the Clovis point, I wonder how many cavemen that put out of business or had to be retrained to shoot a bow and arrow. Before that, they had a spear. So yeah, I mean that, and then all you got to do, if you want to be the boss, just go, you know, we got trouble right here in River City. We gotta stop this playing with the instrument. We gotta do this. We gotta do that. I'm telling you, the end of the world. How many religions? The end of the world is right around the corner.
There is the end of something right around the corner. It's called Roll Route. Trent Lusak Vogler. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. And all roads do. I started this one discombobulated, and I ended this one discombobulated. All roads do lead to a Roll Route. Don't forget about the Proud of the Farm Energy Free Waters. More details about how that heat from Earth can be your friend. You don't need to worry about it. It'll take care of itself. You got to manage them like everything else. Just get more details and maybe talk to some people. I got 17 of them. If you want to talk to me, I can tell you the ins and outs, how they work, how they don't work, and I'll just be straight up. But I'll also tell you, Kelly would not let me have 17 if these puppies didn't work. So more details about the Pride of the Farm Energy Free Waters, along with the number one mineral selling feeder on the North American continent at prideofthefarm.com.